I'm John.
Welcome to the Dubious Bakery.
Your torrent download of knowledge.
Welcome to the bakery, everybody. We haven't spoken to you in like a month, and I fucking missed you all.
Yeah, it has been quite a long time.
Ooh.
Rarely do I screw up that intro there, but so I lit my lighter, and then instead of picking up my piece to smoke it, I picked up my mic.
Oh, God.
And I looked at it for a second like, oh, what? How am I going to light this?
You know what I do? That kind of reminds me, like, sometimes when I'm cracking eggs, let's say I'm going to make, like, four eggs. You know how you, like, get into the rhythm of cracking an egg, put it in the bowl, crack the egg, put it in the bowl? I got my fourth egg, I'll totally crack it and put it in the sink and, like, totally forget about it. Because you throw your shells, like, you know how you throw your shells, like, away in the sink or in the trash?
Yeah.
I'll just, on my fourth one, I'll definitely just throw it in the sink or trash.
I always go trash. I don't know why. Those eggshells just seem like death traps once they go through a garbage disposal. They're just like little
sharp. Are you fucking
kidding
me?
I know. Dude. They're probably useless. I'm probably way overanalyzing
I know somebody whose dad, they would put chicken bones down the garbage disposal. No joke. Like, he was like in love with garbage disposal.
You probably shouldn't, though. Just because you can.
I'm not thinking it's going to hurt the garbage disposal. I'm just saying
I would.
I'd rather go to the trash. Just dump it in the trash.
Oh. I thought you were going to talk about going to the dump or something.
It's good for the landfill.
Well, compost. That would be perfect for the compost heap.
So, recently, I know, John renewed his medical marijuana card because it was like a week from expiring or something?
Yep.
Indeed. And for it, actually, it was cool. John took me to Venice for the first time because I have never been.
That was where I had got my license the first time.
Yeah, correct.
So
you told me all about it.
To the where we went to the place I had purchased it previously to renew it,
and I remember too, like on the way there, the whole time John was like, "I'm going to spend like $30, $35 at most on this renewal." His whole time, he's like, "I've talked to people; everyone's saying it's cheap. I'm just gonna that is my max. I'm gonna pay. That is the max." And so we kind of went in.
It was $35.
At that time, like we went into Venice Beach, literally like walking on, thinking, "Oh, this is easy, and that's what's gonna be." So I know we went to the place where John originally got his shit.
So the first one I saw, the first place where you could pick up your tet or your card, just happened to be the place that I bought it the last time. Excuse me. This beer is really getting to me. I'm going to use one of these three liquids in
front
of me.
Dude, it's so funny. Like, John, he has three fucking liquids for the podcast right now. He has a beer. I don't even know. I think it's apple juice and, like, Coke. Like, I don't know why you need
get to that.
Separate different fluids just to podcast. And you always give me shit about eating donuts. Can I get my three liquids, please? Can I get my beer and my apple juice and my soda? I need three separate different flavors.
We'll get flavors
to my
three separate
to get
liquids
my
later.
Podcast.
So.
Prima donna.
If you were listening to my rant before Axel's rant, we were walking up to the other place, or to the place I had bought my license at before, and I walked in, asked him how much it would be for a renewal. They asked me, did you buy it here? Yes, blah, 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 blah. She told me $60 at first.
Exactly. And, yeah, that's what I heard, too.
Yeah, and I told her that's how much I paid for it in the first place, and... Long story short, I ended up showing her a coupon I had from another place that said, if you make an appointment with us, we will renew your license from any doctor for $35. So I showed her that, and she said, well, you better go there. So we parted ways.
Yeah, so we left. So,
yeah.
In that negotiation, John lost. He tried his card, literally, like, because it said $35 for this place, but she pulled the... Then go there.
Yeah, exactly. It's bound to happen. There's many others down the street.
Yeah, they know the score. So we went to the second one, though. And the second one was pretty... It was cool. It looked more like legit. It was like a walk-up dispensary. And, of course, all the, like, people there, all the women who were at the counter, you know, had their tops all low trying to draw us in. It's so see-through now that it kind of pisses me off when they have hot chicks at dispensary. It's just so, like, I'm going to go there just for hot chicks. I like hot chicks. Don't get me wrong. But sometimes it's like...
If the prices
are, reverse sexism.
Well, if the prices are comparable, I will go there for the hot chicks. I'm fine with that. There's nothing wrong with that.
I mean, I agree there, too. Like, if it's literally like there's no other difference between the dispensaries but hot chicks, then I'll go there. But I've actually noticed most of the time, I'm sorry, hot chicks, if you're listening. They're kind of, they don't smoke as much or something. They don't know as much. Like, I almost prefer a man behind the dispensary counter, not to be sexist myself, just because they smoke a lot more and they just really seem to know, like, yeah, I smoke this every day and it gives you this effect versus just, I don't know, the hot chicks in general seem to only smoke once in a while. Like, yeah, I smoke at parties and stuff, so yeah, I've had this, it's good. Yeah, it's all good.
I hear what you're saying.
I don't know.
Maybe, what if the guy was there so you could ask questions? Then what if the knowledgeable person, we will call that, we'll call that guy the knowledgeable person.
Mm-hmm.
So he can be both sexes. So that knowledgeable person, what if they were there while your hot beauty was there as well?
Then I would go for the beauty, yes. Yeah, you're correct. Then you're right. You're right.
But,
so
anyways.
So they did draw us into this one.
Yeah. We're getting, yeah. So,
God, we're right.
This clinic, this this doctor's office was pretty nice. It had travertine floors, which I don't know if you're into tile floors or not. I read the monthly
travertine.
But,
what?
They're not cheap.
That's what you thought of when you thought of that place, is travertine floors.
First Absolutely.
All, I've never even heard of a travertine floor, and I can't even remember what the fucking floor looked like. I thought it was sand.
It was the color of sand. It's a sandstone kind of deal. It's beige and. Theirs was filled. Their gaps were filled, but nonetheless, it's still a decent type of tile, meaning it was a pricey tile.
So it looked legit.
And they had crown molding as well as, I'm guessing,
See,
floor
that
molding.
Is so
I,
the
I,
difference
I think it's just called
between...
molding. Baseboards, that's what it's called.
Yeah, that's the difference between Dubious John and Dubious Axel. Like, I went there just like, oh yeah, it just looked like a nicer place. He's full on like, yeah, I had travertine floors and crown molding and like, do you see the different shades of the white versus the peach? And, like, you just analyze the world differently. Bastard.
Anyway, so this place, I walk in there and I'm like, hey, how much for a renewal? And she tells me $100.
Wow.
The bitch said $100, and I was like, wow!
$100 to renew it? That's ridiculous.
Originally, I got my license for $60, and I talk her down. And she eventually gets to the price, and she says, well, $55 is the lowest we can do, and there's nothing I can do about that.
I remember that, too, actually, because I had the treat of, like, watching Dubious John negotiate, and so, like, I literally, like, saw that lady go, like, $55 is the lowest I can go, and, like, and John.
Yeah, at that point, I was like, well, no, I was thinking about $30 is the highest I'm going to go.
Or I'm going to leave.
Yeah, or I'm going to leave, and she said, okay, wait right there, and she walked in the back office.
We probably did nothing.
Yeah.
Is my guess. It's totally my guess. She walked back there and just twiddled her thumb.
It's the car salesman technique. That's what they're using on it.
Totally.
So, yeah. She came out, wrote a number down. She told me not to tell anybody, but if you guys don't tell anybody, I'll promise to tell you.
Don't tell.
All right. It was $40.
It's 40.
So I paid $40 for this thing. And these three other guys that were sitting there, I want to call them mooks, but I don't really know them well enough to call them mooks.
But definitely they're being overcharged because the whole point is she like whispered this number to Dubious John, like, oh, like, come here. I don't want anyone to hear about this thing. It was just like so shady. And the fact that he talked her down from 100 to 40 just shows how like ridiculous it is. And it is, like you said, car salesman-y, and this, they're just going to take what they can from you.
But she also brought up a lot of good points about the other places in Venice, the other doctor offices. On the counter. She had printed out pictures of the other offices being raided, as well as some of the smoke shops.
Yeah, you know what's funny about this place? This place totally smear campaigned the entire, like, all the other places on Venice Beach.
Most
basically,
of them,
you went there, they were like, where else are you thinking of going? This place? Yeah, don't go there. It's awful. Where else are you thinking of going? There? Yeah, they're awful. They got raided. There? No, don't go there. Here, you better go here. Like, they were so insistent that, hey, they got your business.
Yeah, and they were looking out for me. So, yeah, that's my story about the renewal stuff. So I do have another story here. Rarely do I break protocol with our stories here on the Dubious Bakery, meaning usually Axel and I keep it pretty solid as far as making sure we don't talk about our stories before we see each other on the bakery.
Agreed. It's a very big issue that we do not know each other's stories until we record
for
us, because it's basically, we just want the honest reactions because we don't like acting. We're not good actors.
That's not true. I do Hamlet. Anyways, it's not true. But anyways, this story, this upcoming story, I just had to break protocol. I had to tell Axel. I had to say, get your face as deep into this story
into this
as
shit.
You can.
And I'm so excited he did. Like, it was. It blew my mind. I told a bunch of people.
So the story is about our Voyager probes. And if you don't know what they were launched in 1977 and roughly about a year apart from each other. So I'm guessing a couple months, whatever.
Yeah.
And they have five different types of sensors on them. And they were sent out into the deep reaches of space.
Yeah, they're like the farthest man-made object in space. And we're kind of amazed they're still working, but they are. They've been sending us countless amounts of data, like John said, since 1977. But what's really interesting right now, what me and Dubious John are tripping about, is that the Voyager probes, the farthest man-made object, is actually entered a type of foam zone. What that means is there's like these, as best that can be described, these magnetic bubbles that exist on the outer edges of our solar system. And the probe has entered this layer, this unforeseen, unknown of foam zone that definitely probably exists. It's a theory now, but it's very good looking theory.
So no, the way I understand it is this foam zone is the interaction between the edge of our sun's magnetic field.
It's called the heliosphere.
The heliosphere, yeah, of our sun.
Yes,
that's its magnetic.
Yeah, it's like the mech stint. I like how Dubious John described it when we talked about it earlier. Was think of like the Earth's magnetic like field. If you've ever seen a picture of it, it's like two poles like reaching out, and it kind of almost has like a tail, like he said. Imagine that, but like on a solar scale. Like the sun has a heliosphere, this huge magnetic, like almost for lack of a better term, force field that's kind of protecting us from cosmic rays, which is like the radiation that's affecting, like we've been talking about it for months now about radiation and cosmic rays that's killing all the astronauts.
And how the Earth's magnetic field shields Earth from those cosmic rays, exactly. Those dangerous rays emitted from the sun.
Yeah, exactly. It's funny how like the Earth shields, the magnetic field shields the Earth from the sun's rays, and then the heliosphere shields us from the cosmic, like greater galactic like rays.
But the trippy part about this is we did not think we were going to encounter bubbles. These magnetic bubbles of varying size and magnetic strengths, I believe.
Yeah, they're actually like, they said they could be like 100 miles, like 100 million miles long. So it would take the Voyager probe like weeks to get through one of them. And like Dubious John was getting at is that we thought it was going to be a smooth force field type thing. But now it appears it's literally like a bunch of bubbles, like the outermost force field of our solar system protecting us from radiation is a bunch of magnetic bubbles.
Yeah, and they describe the bubbles as like, because originally we thought the sun's magnetic field was like ours, just a bunch of shells that pretty much just accumulate and blow in the direction of the wind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you look at our planet, the sun's solar wind and energy and whatnot is blowing our magnetic field a certain way.
Yeah, like almost like a tail of a comet.
The same thing is happening to our solar system from the center of our galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
So our galaxy is blowing our sun's magnetic field a certain direction, and we're finding these bubbles at the brunt of the force, the front.
Yeah,
I would say
basically
the
like
tail,
they're the, like the these bubbles are like capturing these cosmic rays inside themselves. Like they're literally, these rays are literally getting caught within these bubbles. But the implications of this discovery,
the bubbles are between our sun and the center of our galaxy.
Correct.
That's what I was trying to say.
Yes. Correct. But the implications of this discovery is that now that there's this foam layer outside on the solar system, instead of a nice uniform shield, we have bubbles, meaning some of the rays could get through. Meaning our heliosphere is more like a membrane than a giant like force field, which is just, I think, fascinating that like basically some could get through. That sucks for astronauts, though, because cosmic rays just suck for astronauts heading for Mars because we don't really have any awesome, you know, energy shields. So radiation just gets through the thin metals we have to use to shoot in space. So
yeah, cosmic rays really, really, really suck. Mm-hmm. I never really understood the devastation that they can cause.
Me neither. Like just all the things they do to like viruses and to the people. But another thing for the heliosphere is that basically since the sun's a star, we can extrapolate this to all other stars. basically all of the stars most likely have a foam layer, if so. So this is literally a really new topic. Like, I think August 9th was like the header.
July.
Of...
Or excuse me, June 9th was...
Was it June? Okay.
When the Voyager... Here's the thing. The two probes, Voyager 1 detected the field, and then a year later, Voyager 2 detected the same thing. And from that, they started to piece together sensor data and this and that to conclude that magnetic bubbles exist on the outer rim.
You know what I love is that on Bakery's Past, we totally reported that the Voyager probes were being...
Pulled a certain direction?
Yeah, they were being acted upon by an unknown force, is what we said. And nice. we said we're going to look into it. Now we know what that force is. It is the foam layer. Because what is happening to the probe? It literally is going into a bubble, and it's like going down the nooks and valleys. Like, there's all these, like, if it makes sense from a scientific point of view, like, the probe is moving in ways it shouldn't because it's actually traveling through these magnetic bubbles that the sun has created.
I was reading something that the probe only has, I think, about 15 years of life left in it. In 2025, it will stop transmitting. I'm not sure if that's for both of them or just one, but that's a rough estimate. That sucks. Like anything here on the Bakery, if you want to know more, go look it up. Go Google it, because most of our information is very incomplete. And
yeah, we like ideas on the Bakery.
Yep. We're all about theory.
Yeah, totally.
Well, you can...
What are you pointing at your liquids again?
Yeah, if you wanted to...
rant some more about it?
Yeah.
Well, I just think they're ridiculous.
Well, no, because I have a reason why they're all out here.
Oh, is that why you're pointing at them? Because I ran it on them and we never heard the answer? Because, yeah, you're right. I was giving you a bunch of shit, but I would like... I thought really you were just eccentric. There's a reason you need to have a beer. Is this... What are these liquids?
Okay, here. In left to right facing me, I have a beer, Dos Equis, a cup of water, and a Coke. Coca-Cola.
Okay, the beer I understand, and I get the Coke.
Why the water?
No. I understand water, but I have to admit, from this angle, that looks like apple juice.
It's the cup.
It's the cup, I know, and that's what I'm saying. What's with the cup, man? Like, it's turning your thing into apple juice or something.
Let me just go change that for you.
You don't have to change it. I think it's the lighting.
Change it. I mean, as long as you're at the cabinet, change it, but... Just come back. Let's podcast.
It's all right,
dude.
All right.
Jesus Christ.
All right. I have some Bill Nye news. I know Dr. K would be all over this. So this one's what am I trying to say? This article, this topic is dedicated to Dr. K. But evidently, Bill Nye, the science guy, was in Waco, Texas, to participate in a McClellan Community College's Distinguished Lecture Series. So he gave two lectures. Which in the lectures he covers such topics as global warming, Mars exploration, energy consumption, pretty much, you know, Bakery shit.
Okay.
But Bill Nye, he got the audience really upset when he brought up Genesis 1:16, and I didn't know anything about this. So what Genesis 1:16 reads is God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars. So Bill Nye, Bill Nye said the lesser light is not a light at all, only a reflector, because the lesser light's referring to the moon, evidently. So all Bill Nye really was suggesting to the audience was that the moon does not emit its own light, but instead reflects the light from the sun, which we can all agree, right? We all agree that the moon reflects light from the sun and does not emit its own shit. But the fact that he was like going against this Genesis 1:16 thing, he was instantly booed. And at this point, several people stormed out in fury, and one woman just yelled, "We believe in God," and just took her kids out. Like, Bill Nye was booed for saying that.
Wow.
The moon does not emit its own light. At Waco, Texas.
Oh well, okay.
But still, though, come on, man. Just for if anyone listening, in case you do not know, the sun's light reflects literally off the moon, and that's why it's bright at night.
Derp derp. Yeah, possible. Oh, Maestro went to say something.
It might be taken out of context.
Who, Bill Nye or the...
Bill Nye may have taken that out of context.
Maybe. I think basically he should have just said it without bringing the religious thing into it. That's what they all freaked out about regularly. Like, once you say religion, they're all going to put it through that filter. If he just said that simple true fact, they probably would have been like, yeah, you're right.
Yes.
Without thinking about it.
Yeah, absolutely. So I got another science story here.
Yay!
You might enjoy it. I think I will take part in your enjoyment as well.
Yay!
Scientists create an artificial brain that exhibits 12 seconds of short-term memory.
Let me digest that a little bit.
Let me tell you 12 about
seconds
this brain.
Of short-term memory.
Okay.
It's an organic brain. It's not anything artificial. It's not artificial intelligence.
Was it grown, or is this like some rat that was controlled? What is this?
It was developed by a team at the University of Pittsburgh.
Okay. This is what. Okay.
And it was derived from rat brain cells. I'm assuming grown in a petri dish.
Okay, so this rat brain, sort of, that was grown from petri cell rat cells.
Uh-huh.
Has 12 seconds of short-term memory.
Correct. What would you like to know what that means?
Well, I would, just because I would think you would need a... How would they gauge that it has a memory with no body and by its brain and all that jazz? Blah, blah, blah. But, you know, what I would love to hear.
Okay. According to them, when they expose it to a electrical impulse...
Uh-huh.
What they
stimulate it?
Yeah, exactly. Donuts. Again with the donuts. I let it slip the first time, but I'm not going to... Sorry. Eat your donut. It's fine.
Look, I time it when I'm listening. When I'm listening, I eat it.
I like it. So, when they exposed it to an electrical impulse, they expected nothing to happen. They expected that impulse to fade. As soon as they took the electrode away from it, they expected the impulse to fade immediately.
Okay.
Instead, when they took the electrode away, the relays in the brain, the neurons, about 40 to 60 of them in total,
oh wow,
would relay the electrical signal around the brain for 12 seconds. And then it would fade.
Wow.
So, according to them, that is a form of short-term memory.
Huh. I mean, I can see people attacking that, but even if they attack that's not short-term memory, that's something. I'll admit, I kind of like that. Just because, like, it literally shows that it interacted with each other, and since they grew it artificially, that's just nice.
Yeah.
You know, just one step further toward, you know, amazing technologies. We just gotta live, man. If we can just live till these technologies are in practice.
You should see Axel shaking his finger.
We're gonna be fucking alive forever, and it's ridiculous.
I hear you.
Ridiculous.
Oh, why will we be alive forever? What technology are we gonna be alive forever?
Are you asking me the single one? Because you know what's so funny? I think we defer on what technologies we want to use to live forever. I think John, if he could live forever, he would use only biological technology versus me. I would love to use a little bit of like cybernetic, have, you know, cybernetic, you know, arms and legs and maybe a biological like brain. I'd still have my brain, of course, but you know what I mean? Like I'd make myself kind of a robot.
You're missing it.
Not a robot. No, a cyborg, I should say.
We are banking, you and I are banking on one main technology to evolve within the next 80 years to save our asses from
Are you thinking this what I'm writing?
Well, I don't know if you're writing what I'm thinking. No.
That's the technology? No. I wrote stem cells. Because I figured, he's like, what's the one technology that we need to live forever? And I was like, oh, stem cell technology.
I'll just tell you, because I've got a story on it.
I want to guess.
Okay. Well, here's the thing.
Robot.
G.I. Joe. Did you ever see G.I. Joe?
The movie?
Yeah.
I have.
What were the bad guys using in that?
Fucking, I don't know, like ninja swords. I don't really remember. Suits.
Their main weapon.
Is it shield technology?
No.
That's not going to work to live forever.
Okay. What was their main weapon? The green warheads. What were those?
I think it was like nerve gas, wasn't it?
No.
I don't remember.
It ate metal.
Come on, man. Wow. Give it to me without telling me.
What are the Borg?
The Borg?
Yeah.
Nanobots.
Ah.
Is that what you're talking about? Nanotechnology?
There you go.
Okay, yeah.
That was good.
Fuck.
Okay. So nanotechnology.
Good job.
I know. I feel proud of myself.
So, nanotechnology. The FDA is currently working on a plan to regulate nanotechnology. Now, that's a very loose description of what they're actually doing.
Kind of like standardizing it a little bit? Like, just, you can only do this?
Yes and no. Currently... How did I word it? Let me see here. I have a nice worded way. The FDA would only monitor the applications of nanotechnology at this time. Now, Even at this time right now, they can't even do that. That's what they're talking about. They wrote up a rough draft about guidelines and applications.
So what are they saying? They're saying like almost like if you play with nanotechnology, we have to be there to watch it. And is that what you're trying to say? Like,
not at all.
What are they saying?
They're concerned about the products that they already approve and the interaction with nanotechnology and whether or not they have to be on top of nanotechnology in some sort of FDA fashion. Like,
so it's like almost like another step toward that.
Yeah.
Toward nanotechnology because they're thinking about regulating it already.
Well, they're thinking about how much of nanotechnology do we have to regulate. I think that's what they're trying to figure out right now. In 2006, the FDA formed a nanotechnology task force.
Really?
Yeah. They were charged with identifying and addressing ways to better enable the agency to evaluate possible adverse health effects from FDA-regulated nanotechnology
products. Sounds like a TV show. What? Like a task force set out to hunt nanotechnology in all its forms. Because nanotechnology could be a bajillion things? Oh, yeah. That's a 10-episode show before it gets canceled.
No, I just think it's fascinating that they're actually thinking about this. You and I are banking on this technology to keep us alive
You're
in
right.
years.
He is right. Like, I want that shit to get inside me, rebuild all the, like, liver cells and everything else, I guess.
Absolutely. This smoke is leaving a lot of crap in my lungs.
Yeah. Clean that out. Definitely. have no illusions.
Especially, I think it'll be even easier once we get the oxygenated liquid that I've been reading so much about.
Breathable liquid oxygen? You want to be breathing that shit?
Well, don't you think it'd make it easier for the nanobots to get inside your lungs and carry shit out instead of air?
Whoa, like, no. Wait, what the fuck? Are you talking about, why do you need to do that? Can't you just inject it?
Well, yeah, but I imagine...
You just prefer to drown yourself in a liquid? For a little, you have to drown, you know, to go use that shit.
Dude, they'd probably shave me and shit while I'm under. Like, yeah, it'd be fun. They'd massage me.
You're
having
a
Wolverine. Give me a whole treatment in water.
It's like a Wolverine wet dream you're having right now, man. Come on, man. You know what you're up to. You want to be like, ah!
Oh, yeah, they put adamantium on my bones. It'd be great.
Actually, I have a request.
What?
Before you go into that tank of breathable liquid.
Uh-huh.
It's breathable liquid.
Uh-huh.
Can I drown you in it?
Oh, you want to take your hands and hold me down in it.
Yeah, because I don't think... You can't drown yourself. Could you drown yourself, Maestro? Please drown yourself in this.
Sure.
He says sure, but he knows he means no. No one can drown themselves. They need a buddy, and I'm down to be that buddy.
No, see, here's the...
Swallow,
yeah.
No. Yeah. Maestro says swallow it, but no, you have to drown in it. Like, go. That's water. No, that's water. It sucks for a second. Yeah, it's going to suck for like 4 minutes. No.
You brought this scenario to like a whole new level of reality for me, and in my head, I'm questioning: does this guy have like a? Is he a sadist?
No.
What's up with him? Does he just want to see me drown?
No, it's a unique situation that you brought up because of this fluid.
It's out of Saw.
Yeah,
it's like something out of Saw.
Drown your buddy, and you'll live.
Yeah, I mean, you're gonna. I mean, I shouldn't even call it drown yet because you're not drowning. You're just kind of gagging on oxygen for about 2 minutes or so.
That would be a creepy scenario. But yes, you can be that person. If I see a lot of other people go through it before me, yeah. Sure.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's so I'm being extreme because that you're saying, yeah, I'm down for that. Like, I'm down just to inject it into my blood cells at this point. Why do I need to be in breathable water? Because you want it like all in your lungs and stuff? You think it's all...
It has to be. You have to literally choke on it is what the deal
No, I mean, I understand that. I mean, you think the nanobots are going to be in the fluid too?
I think it would make it easier for them to get around in the fluid than air. Breathing in air. That's why I'm saying that. For internal stuff, like if I need to breathe them into my nose and they need to go through my cavities and... clear out my, I don't know, whatever.
My,
you know, they
I don't
can go
know.
Into my butthole at that point. That's all air, right? And they can clean out like.
Well, I'm not thinking air. I'm thinking injecting or even eating it in a pill.
Pill.
Pill. I'm not sure. I agree with you there, but come on, find a vein and just inject you with some. I don't want to do it myself because I have a. I'm afraid of that shit. Like I can't. I don't think I can ever inject myself with anything. Like needles freak me out, and when I. Do that. And so, like, I would need to go to a nurse for that. Well, I would.
Well, yeah, cool. Right on. All right. Well, Maestro's giving us the break time signal. So thank you very much for joining us here on The Bakery. This is the first one since the 420 episode. It was a good one.
I know. All right. I barely remember the 420 one. I have to, like, re-listen.
It's funny. I have so many rants and raves. I guess we'll save it for the next one.
I know. Exactly. Like, I haven't ranted in so long. Like, I'm excited.
All right.
Oh, hey. Yes. Good song choice.
All right. Join us on www.thedubiousbakery.com and iTunes as well. So find us on there. Search for The Dubious Bakery.
Remember, as always, if you see us on Facebook, it's actually one of the hosts of The Dubious Bakery. It's either Dubious John or Dubious Axel. So please send us a message. Say, hey, I heard your episode. That was awesome. We would love that.
And our phone number, what is it, Axel?
1-872-BATLINE. So please call that, leave us a message, leave us some cuss words.
And if you have a smartphone that's weird and doesn't have the number or the numbers corresponding with the letters and whatnot, find yourself an old dial and figure that shit out.
Figure it out.
BATLINE, right?
Figure it out. We have to hand you everything.
Love you.
We love you guys. Seriously, thank you for listening. Please listen to our archive at thedubiousbakery.com. And remember, smoke them if you got them.
Now praise the bakery with all of your might. Dubious Bakery is the place to be. Dubious Bakery, entertaining you and me. Zombies Eve and Superhero Registry. Take a listen and you shall see. Long live the bakery. I'm at the end of my bakery fan song. Don't know about you, but I could listen all day long. Raise up your hands and shove your J to the sky. Let's all listen and get jolly high.